God's word is the foundation of everything. And I'm going to give you a few points today. I'm going to not go very deep today. This is the overview for the series. Some of these points will go deeper in the weeks ahead. But God's word is the foundation for everything. Luke chapter 6, 46 to 49 is going to be our key verse. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? This is Jesus talking. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on a solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. So here Jesus is telling them, if you hear my words and do them, it's like building a foundation for your life. When you build that foundation, the storms can't crash it. But he says those that hear and don't do are like someone who has no foundation. So I'm going off this verse, and we're going to look at a number of different verses about the fact that God's word is the foundation for everything. So first, I want to look at this, and it's that God's word is the foundation for authority. Everybody say authority. God's word is the foundation for authority. Now, when we think of authority, in your mind, maybe today you're thinking, well, who has the highest authority? Who has authority in our province? Now, maybe some will think, well, police officers have authority. And lately, in parts of the world, that's been challenged. There's a sign where people are misunderstanding authority. But police officers do have some authority. How about in everyday situations? Think of a business. Who has the most authority in a business? Well, the owner. The owner can hire, the owner can fire, the owner can make decisions of how they're going to do things. So authority is in different areas in our lives, but all authority, the foundation for it, comes from God's word. John 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay, so when you're looking at authority, somebody who owns, somebody who is there from the beginning has the highest authority. And the God we serve owns or is the creator of it all. He has the highest authority. And in the very beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. And if you go down to verse 14, you will see that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, Jesus was the manifest Word of God from the beginning. Look at Isaiah 55 and verse 7 to 11. It says, "Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry." Verse 11, "It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Now, I've read this verse for a reason, because I want you to see something. God's word was established in the beginning. God's word continues, and God's word is above our thoughts. He goes there to say, "My thoughts are far above yours." The reason I'm bringing this out, because today it seems that sometimes, as human beings, we think we're so smart, you know, that maybe we know better than God's word. You know, maybe it's getting old and we should just have some new ideas. Or, you know, or maybe we need to just interpret it differently because, you know, we're so smart now, we know more. We will never know more than the God that created this. We will never know more than the God who has already spoken how it will end. Hello. His word doesn't grow old. His word doesn't become ancient or antique and we don't need it anymore. His word established everything that we see right now, and his word has already declared how it will finish. And his word has declared eternity that's coming. It will never grow old, and we are not smarter than God. We never have been, we never will be. God's word is the foundation for all authority. Matthew 24 and 35 says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. God's word was from the beginning. God's word will continue for eternity. One day this world will disappear. Scripture also says that the earth and the heavens will melt with fervent heat. They'll be done. But this word will remain. You and I, our days are numbered. We won't live forever, but this word will live beyond us. When people turn their nose up at this word or think, oh, it doesn't apply to me, you know what? This will be around and they'll be gone. You and I, our days are numbered. We won't live forever. It's a fact. But the truths in here will continue on and continue on. And when this all wraps up, his word will still remain. Did you know there's a day coming that every person will stand before God and be judged? Judged by what? This word. Did you know that the laws of our land were initially based on the truths from his word? I said all authority, the foundation for all authority comes from his word. And when we get that confused and we start changing things and doing things, that's why we end up with situations like we have today. But I am so thankful for the authorities that God has placed in our country. The foundation for all creation is God's word. I said I'm going to move through the points quickly. I am. So God's word is the foundation for all creation. Psalms 33 and verse 6. Says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So everything that was made by God's word. Go back to the book of Genesis and read in the beginning, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. God created by his word. Or excuse me, John 1 and 1 to 3. I'm going to read two more verses from the one we read. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In other words, all creation was made by what? The Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation for everything. And you're maybe thinking, well, why are you today going so strong on the word? Because I believe that people are getting a feeling that, well, this isn't so important. And maybe it's not even like totally accurate. There starts to be this feeling throughout humans and in different areas of the world where, you know, we're going to go beyond, we're smarter. No, this is the foundation for everything. And creation being one of them. One of the other things that I want to look at in this series is God's word is the foundation of truth and righteousness. We don't get to decide what's right and wrong. We don't get to set the standard of righteousness. It's already been set long before any of us were here. Before there was even a world, the standard of truth and righteousness was already set. Did you know that? It's not a issue of, well, if we get enough votes, you know, the majority says we'll decide. It's already set. The foundation for truth and righteousness is written here in this word. Psalm 119 and 9 to 11. I'm going to read it right out of my King James Bible. You'll notice when I read, sometimes I'm using different versions. I pick a lot of different versions to try to get it clear for you. But I want to read this today right out of this version. Psalm 119, verse 9. Says, where shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, the standard for righteousness is God's word. If you desire to live right, then you will check God's word and live by God's word. Because if his word says you should have one wife and you should be married, then you can't live common law and assume that you're living righteous. You're going to need to get married. If his word clearly declares that it's one man and one woman, then anything else is not righteous. I know that's not politically correct, but his word was around long before being politically correct. And his word will continue long after we're gone. Righteousness, his word is the foundation for it. John 8, 31 to 36, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And of course they say, well, we're Abraham's seed, we're not in bondage. And he says, look, the servant of sin is in bondage. And he says, if the Son will make you free, you'll be free indeed. In other words, his word will set you free from sin. Because his word is the standard for right living. God's word is also the foundation of salvation and healing. If you're looking for salvation, if you're looking for healing on the inside, healing physically, if you need it, the foundation of it is his word. Psalm 107 and verse 20. It says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Where does healing come from? The word. Where does salvation come from? The word. John 1 and verse 14, it says, so the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of his word in the flesh. And Jesus Christ came to do what? Bring salvation and healing. I'm not going to go deep in it today, but salvation and healing were brought by Christ. You see, he died on a cross and he shed his blood so you and I could be forgiven for sin. But why did his body have to be whipped and beaten? His body was broken for yours and my healing. The manifest word, Jesus Christ, came to bring salvation and healing. We'll look at that deeper in another message. God's word is the foundation of blessing and prosperity. Deuteronomy 11, 26 and 28. So again, I'm giving you some points where God's word is the foundation for everything. It is the foundation for blessing and prosperity. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. It's Moses talking to God's people. And he says, look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. But you will be cursed if you don't. If you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods that you have not known. So a blessing and a curse is set out. You can hear this word and do it and be blessed, or you can choose not to and be cursed. That's what he said when Moses wrote that. Luke 11 and 28 says this, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." So where does blessing come from? It comes from God, and it ultimately comes from his word. Blessing comes from knowing the word and walking in it. Now, when I'm talking about the word, and I'm going to give you another point, and we're going to go into it a little deeper, and it's going to be my final point today, but just hearing the word isn't enough. Knowing the word and living it is what brings the blessing. Knowing the word and following it brings salvation, healing, blessing, and the things we're talking about today. So my final point, we'll look at that a little bit. God's word is the foundation for victory over the enemy. How many know we are in a spiritual battle? I don't know if anybody's noticing that, but we are in a spiritual battle. The whole world is in a bit of a spiritual battle right now. Well, the way to have victory over the enemy, like the song they sang earlier, there's a victory, I see a victory. True victory comes from the word, knowing it and living it. I want to look today at the time when Jesus was tempted by the enemy, the devil himself, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. So Luke chapter 4, 1 to 13. And this is our last portion of scripture, but I am going to look at it a little bit in detail. So verse 1, Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So let me explain each of the temptations. Jesus defeats the enemy. What is the enemy trying to do? He's basically trying to cause Christ to sin and not fulfill his purpose. The enemy hasn't changed. He doesn't want you to fulfill your God-given purpose. He wants you to be defeated. He wants you to be doing things that will cause you to miss your purpose. So he tries it on Christ, and Christ defeats him by quoting the scripture. It is written, man will not live by bread alone, by every word of God. But you see, he didn't just quote the verse. He defeated the enemy because he automatically was saying, this is what it says and this is what I live by. Do you understand that? He was saying, this is what it says, this is what I live by. In other words, I'm not going to do what you said because I do what this says. Okay, so just knowing it is not the same as living it. And so he defeats the enemy in that situation. And then in verse 5, the devil tried a different thing. It said he took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For it's been delivered to me and I'll give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So again, Christ quotes scripture and says, I'm not going to worship you because scripture says only worship God. And then it goes without saying, he does what scripture says. Because the foundation for defeating the enemy is God's word. You see, the devil was trying to defeat Jesus, and he uses the same tricks to try to defeat us today. In the first situation, he's telling him, look, you're a son of God. You're hungry. Just fulfill your desires. Just do what you want with what God's given you. And he says, no, I'm going to listen to God. In this situation, he's telling, worship me and I'll give you what you want. Quick and easy power. And he says, no, I'm going to worship God and follow his plan. And how many know the plan God had for Jesus wasn't an easy walk? Hello? Would have been way easier to take that plan. But it ended up in destruction. Verse 9, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, and it's been said, or it's written, you will not tempt the Lord your God. Now here is the enemy's number one trick to try to defeat believers. Did you notice the enemy has tried to defeat him twice? This time, he tries to defeat him by quoting Scripture. Believers, this is the way the enemy will try to defeat you. Because he's now determined Christ is going to follow Scripture, I know what I'll do. I'll give him a Scripture and just twist the interpretation. And so that's what he does. He quoted it perfectly. The devil knows the Bible, but he doesn't follow it. And so he quoted the Scripture perfectly and gave it his own interpretation. Too many times I've seen Christians fall and be defeated when they take a verse and try to make it fit their situation or try to make it allow for their sin. And when you do that, you're letting the enemy use this trick on you. So how do you make sure that doesn't happen? Really simple. There's a verse that says Scripture has to interpret Scripture. What that means is Scripture works together. If you've got an interpretation that clearly contradicts a very clear Scripture, you got a false interpretation. Throw it out. Because the Scripture will complement the Scripture. God is not confused. He will not tell you it's sin here, but it's okay here. He won't tell you, this is truth here, but I decided it's not over here. It will come together. So if you have something that looks like it's contradicting itself, you have a false interpretation somewhere. Straighten it out with the clear Scripture. And so Christ gives him a very clear Scripture. You shouldn't tempt the Lord your God. That's pretty clear. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to jump up the temple and be foolish. Now, if I were to somehow be pushed off or fall off, his angels are going to look after me. I want to encourage you. Sometimes, just because you're Christian doesn't mean you have to be reserved and never take a chance in life. Okay, you can bungee jump with a bungee cord that's safe. You can skydive with a parachute. I mean, you don't have to. I want to tell you in real everyday life, it's okay to step out and take risks. If God's calling you to business, step out and take a risk. If God's calling you to talk to somebody and you're like, oh, that's so scary, just step out and take a risk. Calculated risk. Okay? I don't know why I'm saying that because it has nothing to do with the message, but somebody needs to hear that. Don't stay in your house in bubble wrap for the rest of your life. God didn't create you for that either. He created us to be courageous. Why did he tell Joshua, be strong and courageous? You know, don't be afraid, fear nothing. Because there was going to be some risks he had to take for the walk that was ahead of him. Somebody, you need to hear this. Don't be afraid to take a calculated risk if God's leading you. God's got things ahead for you. Your next, as we talked about in the last series, may be a little scary for you, but you need to take it. You need to step into it knowing that he's got you. All right? Let me wrap this up. God's word is the foundation for everything. When we know his word and we live in it, we can guarantee that we are going to defeat the enemy. We can know that the ultimate authority of all is with us, his word. And we can go forward seeing his word fulfilled in our lives. I want you to be confident in what you're doing. Know this, even in troubled times, everything is going to work out. This season is going to pass. Our time is going to pass, but God will always be the same. His word will remain, and we can put our trust in him. We can trust this word with confidence, and we